Hi everyone, welcome to the Fangamer Podcast. This is Benjamin Kerrigan. This week on the Fangamer Podcast, we go back a few weeks in time. A few weeks ago, before PAX East 2013, when we all went to a trip to Golf and Stuff and Trail Dust Town in Tucson, Arizona, two of the area's only arcades or amusement centers. We play some games, discuss proper crane machine tactics, get flipped the bird by some racing games, and find out just how strong our personalities are. It was a great time spent together, but we mostly wanted to see what exactly the state of the modern arcade was like. And without further ado, let us venture into the magical land of Golf and Stuff.
Hello, welcome to the Fangamer Podcast. This is episode 153. We're at Golf and Stuff. My name's Jeff. I'm here with Charlie, Ben, Heidi, and Laura. And I think we're also waiting on the twins to show up.
It's going to be a good old time.
Yes.
Good old hootenanny.
We're standing outside of the tower. It's a castle.
It's a little fortress arcade.
Yeah. Well, Golf and Stuff is a place, we've talked about this place many times on the podcast before, we even said the tagline, Golf and Stuff Can't Get Enough.
Yeah, we sang the theme.
But they have, golf, mini golf, right? I'm watching some people play mini golf right now, and there's ducks swimming around in a pond.
Exactly, it's pretty cool. You don't see a whole lot of ponds in Tucson in the first place and having little ducks swimming around.
Or pagodas.
Or pagodas. It's true.
But the reason we're here today is because we're doing a podcast on the state of modern arcades. More modern, like the only sort of way an arcade can thrive nowadays, and like a bigger thing like a mall or a mini golf course.
And Heidi, you said that you looked at the Golf and Stuff website and it boasted what claim to fame?
It is the largest arcade in Southern Arizona.
So I guess we're going to find that out today.
I mean, it's the biggest fortress I've seen in Southern Arizona, at the very least.
Yeah.
That's the biggest pond I've seen in Southern Arizona.
Well, this is Golf and Stuff, and there's actually more people in the arcade than playing golf right now. You guys want to go inside and see what's in there?
Yeah, let's check out some games.
We're walking through this area right here has probably got some of the best actual arcade games.
I don't agree with you, because most of them are like hunting games or ticket games, like SpongeBob SquarePants Ticket Boom. But
in terms of arcade games that don't dispense tickets, I think that's our section. That's your choice.
Big Buck Hunter are our options.
When I said best, I meant you're stuck with that.
No, they seem to have some interesting stuff here. They have DDR-X2. DDR is always a cool thing. That's like kind of the savior of a lot of modern arcades. There's this one game here called Doodle Jump that has a very interesting design that I've never seen before in my life. So I'm excited to play that.
Got our racing section over here.
Yeah, a bunch of like full body arcade experiences. A few pretty legitimate games here. They have Metal Slug 6, King of Fighters 11, and then like a big like Mobile Arcade Classics compilation machine.
All these are right underneath a selection of prizes that cost thousands of tickets.
Literally thousands of tickets. So I guess they're trying to convince you to go play their quote unquote actual games in which you can get tickets. Instead of playing these dumb games that are actually fun.
Yeah.
But so far, this is pretty like run-of-the-mill for any arcade I've been in the past few years. Like, just a lot of like really big flashing lights, like trying to catch your attention to pretty much take your money. And then a few actually fairly legitimate games that no one seems to ever be playing.
Yeah. So right next to us, there's a game called Welcome to Fright Fear Land.
Fright Fearland.
Oh, Fright Fearland. And I'm looking at the demo screen right now. This looks like a fairly modern game, probably made within the last 5 years. Oh, 2011, 2009.
It looks like a ripoff of the old classic shoot 'em up arcade game, Carnival.
Yeah.
Or House of the Dead.
And it looks pretty funny. All right, let's do it. Let's go get some tokens.
Alright, so we're here playing Fright Fearland.
Here we are.
It's a very standard.
It's a nice aerial black font.
R. Kelly's in this game. Oh wow, this is pretty pretty new age.
Which way shall we go?
Choose our destiny. Well, what do we want to ride first, Jeff? I want to take the either the swing or the train. I'm thinking.
Let's do the train.
I think my controller is extraordinarily broken.
I'm getting under pressure from a lot of the games here.
Yeah, I can shoot things on the top of the screen. I think that's where I'll suit you best. I can't aim anywhere else.
Shoot that guy. Ben, you gotta shoot him.
Sorry.
He's at the top of the screen.
I'm sorry.
I'm really glad you got the top 1/16th of the screen. Ben.
Yeah, not even. I got like the top like 30 seconds. Okay, so I'm not terribly surprised about the state of this game here at Golf and Stuff. My controller does not work. I cannot aim. My crosshair does not move. And that's pretty much a thing you can find at any arcade nowadays. People will go to a game, put in their money, realize it doesn't work, and not really report it. And the people employed there, they won't really have anyone who's like paid enough to come check and maintain these machines. So there are plenty of machines here at Golf and Stuff that just don't work. And that's not a thing unique to here. It's pretty much standard. There are luckily a few elements of classic arcades that do stick around in modern day and ages, and that in high scores, people really go for the opportunity in three letters or less to spell profanities when they get a high score in a video game. And really, that's what it's all about. And I think that, I mean, as long as that's still a fixture in arcades, the world's pretty okay.
I did see one, though, that was just Dad, and I thought that was pretty cute.
Dad is pretty cute.
Yeah.
Well, we died.
Did I just get a game over?
I hope so.
Next up, we have audio of myself and Charlie playing Dance Dance Revolution, a game put out by Konami in 1998 that I feel, at least in the early 2000s, sort of revitalized arcades and brought many new faces that never really came before to the arcades. I feel it sort of created a very beneficial symbiosis between arcades and the people who played it, as you would have a lot of kids coming in to play, but also a lot of people coming in, like, just drawn in by the spectacle of the game itself. And I think a lot of games tried to capture that as days went on. So let's hear a little bit about Dance Dance Revolution.
Charlie and Ben are playing Dance Dance Revolution right now, and they have a small group of people watching them.
The background on this one is phenomenal.
Yeah, could you describe what's going on in this picture?
They seem to be in some kind of cake world with a saucy geisha and a rabbit girl.
I don't know, I'm having Yoshi's Story flashbacks now.
Ben beat me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How did I talk to you? No?
I was kidding.
Do you guys ever look at the backgrounds when you're playing?
Try not to, they're distracting.
I'm so good that I can look at the cool cakes and geishas.
Charlie, what kind of a song do you usually try to pick?
I don't know. Whatever I feel comfortable with.
Especially songs that have a nostalgic meaning to you as a DDR player.
What's next for Charles Dance Verdon?
I'm done. I'm retired now. So I'm still young. And
there's still time.
Yeah.
Still a few years left on this life. Joining us are Brian and Derek, the Mashy Soup and Dolphin Hair duo. Welcome to Golf and Stuff. How are you guys?
We're pretty good. How about you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I'm glad.
Are you having fun?
I might be playing a lot of broken video games. Right now, Jeff is playing Doodle Jump.
Okay.
And this is a game that impressed me as I walked in because I thought the design was pretty cool. But it seems like just a ticket game.
It is a ticket game. It looks to me pretty much like if you memorize the map, you can jump on all the right spots that have points. The object of this game is to just keep jumping and hit as many platforms as possible.
Yes, this looks a lot like an iPhone game. The screen is very iPhone-y.
Yeah, the entire thing is basically a massive iPhone.
Essentially.
Or of an iPhone game.
Just like Fruit Ninja over there. Yeah. They also have Fruit Ninja.
This is by ICE, though. I don't know if they just manufactured the arcade cabinet itself or if they also did the game.
No, look, see, this right here, that looks like something I'm pretty sure I've seen on Bags of ICE before.
Well, we'll have to do some research on this.
I know
obviously.
That ICE has done many arcade games. Let's get this.
I know the Vanilla Ice is my favorite rapper.
Yeah, well, I'll give it another shot.
All right.
It's one token.
One token for a pretty cute experience. And
the interface is very interesting. It's very simple. You simply move a stick with a big ball on
very
it back and
lever.
Forth. And then you hit this red button to hit play. Let's do space.
Let's do space.
As it turns out, ICE is actually short for Innovative Concepts and Entertainment Incorporated. They've been a manufacturer of coin-operated amusement games since 1982, specializing in many redemption ticket sort of games, as you saw in many Chuck E. Cheese's and stuff in the early 90s, such as Hungry Hungry Hippos or, more notably, Cyclone. And nowadays, they, I guess, port iPhone games to arcades, so this was an interesting discovery we made.
This and, like, Fruit Ninja, they are very unique in how they look as an arcade cabinet.
Yeah.
You were so close.
Really close to the end there.
And actually, for a ticket dispensing game, pretty fun. It's a pretty fun game.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty good
nice.
Tokens to tickets to fun ratio, I guess. That's an important other thing.
The thing I like about these newer arcade cabinets is that it's like they take an HDTV, flip it on its side, and that becomes the screen.
Yeah. And that's pretty much what they've been doing for a while, just taking like computer monitor.
It definitely looks different. Okay, so now we're standing in front of a Fruit Ninja FX.
It looks like a giant iPad.
Yeah, these newer arcade cabinets, they're not even cabinets. In that sense, they almost don't even look like arcade games anymore.
Yeah.
Like something totally new.
They're presented in a similar way, but mostly they're just big screen.
Derek, you've played Fruit Ninja before, right?
Yes.
Did you play it on a phone?
Yes.
I wonder if this kind of technology was available in the consumer market back in the 80s, if this kind of stuff would have been in arcades.
I mean, most of the touchscreen stuff you saw there were those really, like, crappy things that you'd see in, like, really abandoned gas stations that were just, like, poker games and bowling alleys and stuff.
Yeah.
That's the game. You got, like, 3 tickets. Good job.
Here, let me show you how it's done. I'll do this. I've never played Fruit Ninja.
What's on your mind, Jeff?
Fire.
Fire's on your mind. Immediately, Jeff getting real into it. Hands all over the screen, going off like a bear. Not really like a ninja, because ain't no one got that many swords.
I really don't know where the screen has been either.
Do you feel like you're gonna have to wash your hands for like hours after this?
It's kind of interesting. I wonder if they clean this machine more than the other machines.
I mean, if they don't tend to their machines with broken controls, do you really think that they're cleaning their screens?
Given how much candy and how many kids are here, I would assume that this thing would be a lot dirtier.
So does having a big screen like this, do you feel like you have more or less control?
Well, actually, it's kind of lagging when I swipe my hands across.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you should try this just so you see what I'm talking about. And you've never played Fruit Ninja, right, Ben?
No, but I'm feeling the spirit of America. There is a lag, yeah. It's like it's not really measuring touch more than it is like there's a gesture in that direction.
Yeah. And it makes it hard to do anything that is precision worthy where they have a bomb flying across the screen right in front of a fruit.
This does feel a little gross on the fingers, not gonna lie.
Yeah. I wouldn't even call it sticky, but like maybe murky.
Grimy?
Yeah.
Griminess kind of slows you down even.
Yeah. Now, what'd you feel about that in comparison to Doodle Jump?
I mean, I think this is way more of, like, something that they're just trying to shoehorn into an arcade experience. Like, I don't think it translates quite as well. I don't think the big screen helps it. I think having a game like this, like on Kinect or on a smaller screen, gives you a lot more precision and a lot less worrying that you have, like, barf on your hands. So I'm gonna go wash my hands and we'll be right back.
I'm gonna go do the same.
Oh, good. It seems I don't want to wash my hands that thoroughly, because I'm a gamer.
Stumbled across Charlie playing Tippin Blocks.
A game with actually an identical cabinet to Doodle Jump, just designed a little differently. So I wonder if there are a bunch of games in this line that were sort of made for like tilt controls on iPhone. Because, I mean, both of these games seem to be like, they have tilt controls.
It's also, again, distributed by ICE.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. There must be like...
This must be a cabinet that they make.
Yeah.
And then they can just easily port games to it.
Yeah, you made a game on the iPhone where you have to tilt your iPhone? Well, do we have the arcade cabinet for you?
Oh, I'm
almost in the wind zone. No.
Never made it.
Dropped your blocks.
I saw this thing. It had a coin in it already, which meant there was only one more coin to play it.
Charlie, explain what this game is.
All right. So, So you hold on to this little platform, blue plastic platform, and you watch the screen, and you're supposed to make certain that these blocks that drop one on top of the other on the platform without tipping over. And you have to move it to make certain that you catch the next block as it comes down. And if you get it into the end zone, then you get a certain amount of tickets. And each time you get to a new win zone, you get it. Now, the interesting thing about this one is that it jumps so quickly from, if you get to the first one, you get like 7 tickets to 11 tickets to 500 tickets. Very quickly, which makes it a very attractive thing. And I think if you got the motor skills down, you could do this. But it's a matter of playing it long enough to get that down.
Nope, I already checked it. I can tell. Already beefed it. No! Why did I do that? That was very close.
Good. Yeah, that was good.
Very close to getting 500.
And how do you feel right now?
I feel like I want to try again.
Exactly.
It's very infectious. I'm going to try again. I'm going to get 500 tickets.
See, that's the thing is that we spent like several dollars worth of tokens on this game last time we came here trying to get this down. And we kept getting...
Yeah.
Because it feels like there's definitely a skill involved in doing this.
The demo for this game, Tippin' Blocks, they show the platform that you move as moving very steadily. And so the attract mode of this game makes it look very easy. But really, as soon as you put your hands on the controller, oh, it's like a whole nother world.
That's life.
No!
That sounds like a euphemism.
It's not gonna sink its teeth into me.
Good job, though. Yeah, good job quitting while you can.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
A dollar in and a dollar out.
I just know I'm gonna get so many Tootsie Rolls by the time this night's over. Yeah. I love Chip. So me and Charlie are going to play NBA Hoops. And it seems like pretty Chuck E. Cheesy in here.
Yeah, let's do it.
I wonder, like, this has a Phoenix Suns logo in the background. I wonder if they make like one for each team for local areas.
Huh?
I wonder if they make like different machines or different cabinets for like different areas. Perhaps.
I suck at this game, man.
They probably just sell the backdrops that you can, like, you know, order.
Well, the whole thing is purple, though. So it seems, the whole thing seems to be synchronized to the Phoenix Suns. So Charlie is getting them hoops. He's dunking.
I've gotten 2 out of, like, 50 tries now.
Well, okay, that's fine. Life isn't so bad. Come on, Charlie, come on. Come on. Come on, Charlie.
No.
I know we play a lot of video games at Fangamer, but... let's not be all that bad at sports. Come on, we played NBA Jam that one time. You got this. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, and... we got 21 points.
How did you get an uneven amount of points?
I don't know.
I want to try.
All right. See if you can beat my score. I got 21.
21. All right. These are not filled at all.
No.
None of these are filled.
There's one that's pretty full.
Okay, that's the one. Okay, good.
Oh, good. Oh, wow.
Good. I'm one ball down.
Oh, that you got it. Don't worry.
Oh, crap.
One of the balls got stuck between the hoop and the side of the machine for a second there, but Ben managed to save it. I'm going to say intentionally.
Yes, very intentionally. I mean to do everything I do. I'm missing all these on purpose. To make you feel better, Charlie.
Thank you.
How do you feel watching me try?
You already passed me up and you got 10 seconds to go, Bubba.
Okay, I didn't know that. I guess I'm so good at basketball. This reminds me of my younger days.
You've already doubled my score. You're good.
I played rec basketball. No, it ain't over.
You more than doubled my score. How do you feel?
Boom shakalaka!
Yeah! Wow!
It was at that point Jeff and I decided to go on a little odyssey. See, behind the Fright Fearland cabinets, there were a huge line of full-body arcade racing games, most made famous initially by the classic Hang-On put out by Sega back in the 80s. But these games, most of them weren't very good. The first one, we started with Superbikes 2, which was a very poorly put together game, which I suppose most of their budget went into supplying the full motion video of ladies twerking when you won. And after that, we tried out H2 Overdrive, which seemed to be the sequel to a classic arcade game Hydro Thunder. That was a good game. But then we discovered something that none of us really expected.
So at long last, We Are Golf and Stuff, we stumbled upon a racing game in which you are actually in a car instead of a motorcycle or a boat. And this one's more expensive, I guess only for the purpose of having your dumb face over your car.
Yeah, I feel really good about this. I think this is a manual.
Oh, wow. So I don't know if you drive manual or automatic, but when you play arcade games that have that option, what do you usually choose?
I don't drive.
Okay, good. So, this game has the ability to take pictures and someone just flipped you off the bird, I guess. It's very appropriate, very classy. So do you think you're racing people in real time right now?
Like, in terms of their best time trials?
Do you think it's time trials?
I doubt it. I think it's just using their pictures.
Oh, okay.
I like that feature, though, that they save the pictures.
Makes it feel like you're playing against actual people.
Yeah. It would be interesting if they did do time trials, though. Get off the track, guy, giving me the finger.
It's a classic.
Classic? Taking middle finger pictures is a classic arcade goof?
Yeah.
What would you take a picture of if you were given the option of displaying a picture above your car?
Probably the same thing, to be honest.
Then you'd be unoriginal.
Well, if I didn't know they did it first.
Well, now what would you do? Now that they've given you the inspiration, how would you use it?
I would do two of them.
Two middle fingers? Wow. All right, Jeff, you're in third. What do you think?
Up third again.
Did you get middle fingered?
Fourth? I thought I was in third.
Me too.
I want to see if I'm behind the middle finger guy.
I'm glad that there's intense product placement of NOS energy drink.
Yes.
So I guess this game is pretty cool. If you put in a pin, I guess like it saves your picture in your account, and I guess that that saves like your trials in previous races. So I guess you are technically racing against actual people.
Great.
I guess you're finding the drawback here is that a lot of people have used all the pins already.
Register for all racers?
Yeah.
They got that picture now in their hard drive.
This is pretty, like, modern-day arcade. There doesn't feel anything, like, disingenuous about this.
No, this is pretty good. There's no twerking. The graphics were actually, I think, a bit better than the other ones.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like this is a pretty legit racing game. What's this one called?
It's called Dead Heat.
Dead Heat.
It was at this point we decided to go across the street to Trail Dust Town, a small little Wild West replica in Tucson, Arizona, just across the street from Golf and Stuff. Well, we knew there was an arcade-ish sort of area there, and we thought it would be interesting to go there to see sort of the polar opposite of the Golf and Stuff experience, without any flashy lights, without anything really there to take your money or give you tickets or anything like that. Just something a bit more pure, something a bit more retro. And on the way there, Jeff and Charlie decided to jump a fence. We ran into a sheriff and almost got hit by a train. So let's explore a little bit of Trail Dust Town and this sort of quaintness it has to offer.
Okay. We are in the arcade of Trail Dust Town, and it's actually changed a little bit since the last time I was here. The main feature of this arcade is a shooting gallery. This room is mostly taken up by the shooting gallery itself.
Yeah, it's basically set up like a small saloon that just has a counter at the end where you pick up a little rifle-like light gun and just shoot at the little targets. And things that you shoot will react. Like there's like little targets that react to the light.
So here's a good example of something you won't see at Golf and Stuff. Here at Trail Dust Town they have a very old thing. I'm not really sure what to call it. It's like a novelty machine. Shake hands with Uncle Sam, only 25 cents. He will tell you your strength, the strength of your personality.
All right, and it's only a quarter. Assuming that it'll take the quarter. Oh, all right. Apparently I'm jealous.
Laura's gonna find out what type of, what the strength of her personality from Uncle Sam.
There's no limit to what you can win.
Did that work? I think it ate your quarter.
What? I'm gonna go get the sheriff.
With the thumb. It's measuring Charlie's personality.
Again. I better not end up as jealous again, or otherwise that...
Oh, you're a tax cheat.
I'm jealous and a tax cheat. I don't think I like this in Uncle Sam, dude.
Wait, what do I have to do? Pull his thumb?
You see how this goes in like...
You have a nice fur with you, too.
Also a tax cheat.
Oh, good. We were made for each other.
Yeah, so if you guys get married, you guys can just, you know.
Go to prison together.
Yeah, it'll all work out. Okay, I gotta do it too.
We're a communist. Let's go for it. I don't think that's even an option.
He can be uncontrollable.
Socialite is close enough, I guess.
That's not even nearly the same thing.
Strong-willed.
I really don't trust this.
No. I actually think the light for romantic is blocked out.
Yeah, it's shut off. There's a lot of reasonably priced candy.
Oh, no!
What?
Too soon, maybe?
Oh, what?
Oh, God.
So these are crane games called Challenger. And the logo is a space shuttle in space.
No doubt named after the
Challenger of the unfortunate explosion of the same name. Do you think this Challenger cabinet was made before the Challenger exploded?
It looks pretty old. It looks like a very old cabinet design.
So do we want to go see the gun show before it doesn't happen?
Yeah, you guys want to go watch that?
No, you don't want to go see
it? Do you want to see the gun show?
I kind of want to see the gun
show. Okay, let's go right now.
Hey, we're in a saloon right now.
A group of people walked in and somebody took a picture, and the flash set off all of the different targets that'll react to the light guns. Did you notice when we were leaving, that lady took a picture and everything went off at once?
That's pretty good.
At this point, we all attempted to go to a gun show that they said was free and then was not. And at that point, we decided to probably try to duck out of Trail Dust Town before the sheriff caught us again. And after that, we went back to golf and stuff and tried to get a few crane prizes for our loyal listeners at home. And you can see what you can win, listener. Up next, after a story by Matt Hawkins.
Hey now, it's Matt Hawkins, your pal from Track Mode, here to talk about arcades. As the resident, oldest in age participant, regular contributor to the podcast, that it's my duty to talk about something that's so near and dear. Because, you know, I did grow up around arcades, in arcades, during the formative years of video games, I call them. And, you know, how could I not say something? So, all right, where do I begin? Let's see. I think I mentioned in the past that I grew up in South Korea near Busan. And, you know, there's a lot of these centers of commerce. We have something called a post-exchange, a PX, and it's where you just buy stuff. Like, it's a general store. You can buy food there. And there's, you know, there's like a little snack bar there sometimes. I remember one time my parents took me there, and I was hungry. I wanted a hot dog, so they took me to the snack bar. And right next to the snack bar was this little dark room that had lights coming out of it. It was noisy, and I asked my dad, what's that about? So he took me, and lo and behold, right in front of me was something called Phoenix. Well, it was an arcade game called Phoenix, and it was the very first game I ever saw, and I fell in love instantly. And so Phoenix is, for those who aren't familiar, it's relatively obscure, actually. It's an old space shooter, which was common back then, since Space Invaders was still relatively fresh. But instead of a joystick, you just use these two buttons to go left and right, which means you can't go up and down, again, like Space Invaders or Galaga. Also has this really tough-as-nails boss. I think it was the very first game to have a boss. And I could never beat it. Even now, I can't take the thing down. It's huge. You have to just look at screenshots. Anyways, so I still have strong memories of the game because it's what directly led me to video games. Now back to PAX. One of my favorite parts is the Classic Arcade Room, run by the ACAM or American Classic Arcade Museum. And every year, again for PAX East, they bring a ton of old classic machines to the show. In this room, and they turn off the lights and they put on like strobe lighting and they play 80s music and they have like a smoke machine, and it's awesome. You know, it's a real loving tribute to the, again, the gaming's formative years. And the ACM are good people who are dedicated to preserving old original arcade hardware. In fact, they're responsible for one of my all-time favorite PAX memories, which was the time they had Crazy Otto. All right, now, so time for a history lesson. Old arcade games were brutally difficult. But like with anything, people got good at them. Almost too good, at least for the liking arcade operators. Now, if a person was good at a game, that meant that he or she lasted longer, and that meant they put less money in the machine, which, you know, means that it's not as profitable. So some arcade operators, what they did was they bought illegally modified boards from mostly college kids, like the first generation of hackers. They take an existing game and make changes, like make it harder, faster, and or even sometimes add new stuff. Like, there was this one for Pac-Man called Crazy Otto, which a bunch of MIT kids created. It was basically Pac-Man with their own character replaced. The big thing was he had legs. And also, like, he had distinctive sides. You know, when he moved left to right, he reflected that accurately. But when he went up and down, like, when he was going up, you could see his butt, basically. Which was, you know, you couldn't see it with Pac-Man. It was just going, you know, just changed orientation. Also, the ghosts were replaced by apples. But the most important thing is that the maze changed every once in a while. Whereas in the original Pac-Man, it was just the same static maze. Anyways, these kids were eventually caught by Namco, and I think they were going to be thrown in jail until Namco played the game, their modified game, excuse me, and realized that it was so far and away superior to their own sequel to Pac-Man, Super Pac-Man, which basically sucked. Which it does. So the kids were basically asked, make some changes, we won't send you in jail, and lo and behold, next thing you know, we have Miss Pac-Man. Now, for years, people wanted to get a hold of Crazy Otto, but only one copy exists. It's not really a copy of anything, it's just the original Pac-Man board modified, which the ACM was able to get hold of a couple years ago, and they had it actually on display, playable. And I, myself, and other attendees got to actually play Crazy Otto, the predecessor of Miss Pac-Man, arguably one of the most successful video games in the history of video games. But I believe it was yanked after just one day, the story goes, he had his laptop and he tried to rip the ROM image right there on the spot, and the ACM people got nervous and removed the machine, because it was borrowed from the original order of Crazy Otto. But anyways, the best part of the classic arcade, aside from the games, which, you know, again, has they have all these awesome old games, including Phoenix, you know, the one game that got me into video games, is the people you'll find there. Now, you'll find basically two groups. You'll find old fogies such as myself, as well as young people. And I really enjoy seeing the young people's reaction, because they get so giddy, they get so excited. I think there's two reasons for this. First, I think it's why a lot of people connect with, you know, this applies to my generation as well. I'm sort of like, I was near the tail end of the arcade world and early stages of the... I was there when the Nintendo first arrived. But, you know, a lot of people, they feel very strongly towards old Nintendo games because they were so abstract. You really had to project. You had to use your imagination to make sense of everything. Especially the fact that, you know, both in the sense of the arcade games and old NES games, like the cover art, the box art for the games, console games, or like the marquee art, the stuff that's on the side of the cabinets, they're so vividly illustrated. But then when you look at the game, it's all blocky and pixelated. So you knew looking at that illustration, this is what it's supposed to look like. So you're filling in the blanks, and in the process, you're actually creating more. You're actually putting more in there, putting your own personalized flourishes. So there's a real emotional attachment to that. And I think kids are like sort of blown away after seeing, you know, these are the people they mostly play Xbox 360 and PS3 games, and everything's really spelled out. So like, oh my goodness, it's like discovering an ancient society. It's like, oh my god, this is how people used to be. And that's another thing. I think they sort of get off the fact that, wow, this is what our parents played when they grew up. And it reminds me that my generation is, again, I'm sort of in the tail end, but we're the first real generation that we really grew up with video games. And when we're like 90 years old and in old people's homes, we're still going to be playing video games. Now, granted, if you go to many old people's homes these days, you may find Wii Sports, because it's a good rehabilitation tool. But guess what? When we're that age, they're going to be there because, you know, it's part of our identity. And, you know, of course, it's going to be there when you get to the twilight years as well. But anyway, so back to the past. So eventually, I would move to Washington State because that's where my dad was transferred since he's a, you know, there's a major military presence there in that part of the country. I grew up in Tacoma, Washington, and my favorite spot in the entire world was the BNI. That's hard to describe, but it's basically this public market that has literally everything you could think of, including video games. I believe it's still the largest arcade in the Pacific Northwest. Unfortunately, the place took, you know, hit the skids in the late 90s when the economy in those parts went down the toilet. The arcade still exists, but the majority of the machines are messed up or just flat out not working. But, you know, I still go there every year when I visit my dad, and each time it just bums me out. Like, seriously depresses me. It's like going to a graveyard. Each time I'm there, another favorite machine of mine is, you know, no longer playable. It's like hearing an old high school chum, one you've lost contact with, has passed away, and you just feel, you know, just feel a little empty inside. You know, okay, so the reasons why, the reasons for the place dying isn't just due to the economy, actually. You know, arcades as a whole are on the wane, at least in America. You know, it's a, you know, you've heard this before. It's a different story in Japan. I remember when I finally got the chance to go to Japan a couple years ago, which is like every video game dork's dream come true. And as such, my first stop was an arcade. And you know what? Believe the hype. They are rad. Filled with all kinds of games. Old, new, you know, operating all hours of the day and night. I remember the very first arcade machine I came across was Radiant Silver Gun, which is, you know, which was, you know, the arcade version of one of my all-time favorite Saturn games, and, you know, which I had to sell because I was poor at the time. And I was, like, totally, like, so giddy and so excited. You know, my friends, they know that I love video games, but they were like, wow, Matt's going nuts over this. And they thought it was a little weird that I wanted my picture taken with it, but, you know, they obliged nonetheless. But anyways, back in America, you know, many things have led to the death of the arcade. I won't go into the reasons why. Maybe, you know, maybe the rest of the podcast have detailed that already extensively. But I will say that many people are trying to keep this spirit alive, and sometimes I'm asked to help. Now, a few years ago, a famous arcade here in New York City was shut down called Chinatown Fair. It's a really long story about why it closed down and how it basically split into two different arcades, which are now independently operated. Since I'm somewhat of an expert on the subject, at least on a local level, I was called upon by various folks in their investigations, including the New York Times. And as a result, I got reached out by several parties who wanted to build an arcade in the city themselves. And they wanted me to consult and lend my advice and insight. And in each instance, I talked them out of it. And you know what? I felt bad for each person because, you know, it was their dream to see arcades come back. And guess what? Same here. I would love to see arcades come back. But I also didn't want to see these people to lose their life savings to accomplish that goal in what would ultimately be a money-losing operation. Again, you know, there are many reasons why arcades have died in America. You know, consoles definitely haven't helped. You know, I like to say that the console, the home system, killed the arcade star. But you know, neither did redemption machines. In fact, I think that's one of the biggest. That was basically the nail in the coffin for arcades. Now, those are the things that spit out tickets. You know, when you go to Dave and Buster's, it's the other half of the arcade. You know, the ones that, you know, it's like skee ball or, you know, whatever the heck that spits out tickets, and then, you know, mostly kids play them. They can use those tickets to exchange for, like, you know, candy or, you know, a little erasers or whatever the heck. And I will tell you that half of Dave and Buster's is far more profitable than the half that has, like, video games. Hence why it's, you know, you're still going to fight Time Crisis 4 so many years later. Now, you know, and you know what? I speak from experience because I used to work in an arcade, and I know firsthand, you know, arcade games are tough to maintain and they're expensive to boot due to large degree power consumption. Meanwhile, you know, the upkeep or redemption games are a fraction of price. You only need to buy prizes, and that's pretty much it. And the cost of repairing a broken joystick pales in comparison to like a cost of a bag of spider rings. Okay, well, you know what? This is the part in which I was going to pass long stories from my arcade days, but, you know, I think I've gone long enough. And the thing is, they're already laid out in my upcoming and well overdue next installment of the Fortnite zine. So to hear about the time I was almost killed by Mortal Kombat 3, and I'm actually not joking, I actually went to the hospital and everything, you're going to have to head on over to the Track Mode shop and get a copy when it's finally available. So, till then, signing out.
So Jeff has officially gone off the deep end, I would say, and is just completely willing to throw his money away for literally nothing.
Yeah.
So what are you looking at winning here, Jeff?
Well, I'm in the Crane Game Corner, which is right next to Fruit Ninja here at Golf and Stuff. We have Mr. Claw, which has a lot of stuffed animals in it. This game, what I tend to do is I wiggle them a little bit, and if the claw moves a lot, and it's looking kind of springy.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna play it.
Yeah. What? How's this one looking?
I don't know.
It's moving a little bit. It seems a little firm though.
It could work. So the next thing I'd look for is a very hard object to grab. These are all stuffed animals, and they all look very sleek with the fabric that they have. So I'm probably not gonna go with this.
Jammed in there.
Yeah. Not to mention, I just don't think any of these animals are good enough.
What about that frog? That frog looks all right.
The frog was okay. Next up, we have clean sweep instructions. Full skill joystick controls the claw, and it basically just. Okay, so we have clean sweep here. This looks like
a bunch of Happy Meal watches.
Yeah, a bunch of Happy Meal watches probably bought from a dollar store. This one, I don't know. I feel like this one also could work, but I don't really need a watch.
This one has a very big sign on it that says, a prize may or may not be won with each play. Winning a prize is determined by the skill of the player.
Oh, so it's egging you on. It's instigating.
So, I'm good enough with Crane Games to the point where I can get it over the object enough, and we can tell if it's rigged.
So, you're thinking that you can leave here with something tonight if the machines are in your favor.
Yes.
This is the challenge here on the Fangamer Podcast.
And I'm thinking that clean sweep may be the one to go if I can't get anything else, because at least with this, when it says determined by the skill of the player, I could show them video, Heidi could roll video, that I got the claw on one of these things, and I could go to the counter and I could complain and say, take a look, this game's rigged. You owe me a $1 watch.
Do you really want to be that guy, though?
No. So I probably won't do that. Okay, next up we have the Golf and Stuff, the finest of family fun parks. This is an original Golf and Stuff Crane Game. This one's a bit cheaper than the other two. This one's 2 tokens. Half of it is Beanie Babies. The other half is the proverbial bling.
Yeah. Some really, really faux-looking jewelry.
Yeah. That's not looking too good. I just wiggled the machine and the claw looks like jelly.
Plastic dinosaurs. I think we have...
Plastic dinosaurs.
I think we're in business.
How many tokens for this guy?
3 tokens.
Insert coin. 1 coin. What? This is the one to do.
Wow, but look at the claw.
Those are actually better.
This looks better.
And it looks kind of solid.
Looks a little solid.
All right, this is an original Golf and Stuff also.
All right, so you can either get a plastic ball or a dinosaur.
And
Scope out which one you want first, though?
Yeah, I usually do that. So, I really want a dinosaur. However, a ball may fit the claw better. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah.
And I have seen children walking around with those balls here, so I would assume that this is probably easy.
But do you want the ball?
No, I want a dinosaur.
Now, do you think the balls represent meteors that fell on top of all the dinosaurs and they were all buried underneath?
That is a good point. See, because there are children who have played this game and succeeded, yeah. I would like to think that, yes, the people loading this machine with prizes were trying to educate the children in something a bit more than supply and demand.
Yeah.
Although the balls look an awful lot like the little sparkly things that fall down in Mario Galaxy.
A little bit.
Okay, so I think I'm going to go for that clump of dinos over there.
Okay.
Because I can't really see any one that is lodged appropriately.
If we don't all leave here with dinosaurs, we're blaming you.
All right, let's give this a go.
All right, Jeff has placed over the clump of dinos.
Oh, I didn't drop that.
Going down.
It has... I see. I actually control
wow.
it.
All right, yes. Well, how are you feeling at this stage?
These controls, they're not making any sense to me. I moved it, and then it eventually dropped.
And now it's just kind of hanging
out. And now it's just hanging there. I'm going to read the instructions while I'm waiting for it to react. Insert coin. 1. Forward moves, boom, forward, only. Repeatable. Sideways, right. Moves, boom, to right, only, repeatable. 3. Down, back towards player, lowers the claw to the desired height. I guess that's what I did when I tried to move back. So you cannot go back in this game.
Okay.
Four, close, left. Okay, so I gotta go left now. It will react automatically with merchandise.
That's interesting though, because it'll lower exactly as far as you want it to go.
Yes.
So it's not gonna just lay on top of everything.
I officially got no dinosaurs.
I got no dinosaurs. However,
now that you understand,
I think I can do this. And actually, did you hear that clack when it closed?
No.
That sounded pretty solid to me, so I'm feeling really confident right now.
All right,
I'm gonna just see if this game.
You're going for the ball.
I'm going to see if I can actually do something.
Up. I think Jeff did it. Jeff has unearthed some dinosaurs.
Whoa!
Right back into the machine.
Wow, that was horrible.
So explain what just happened.
Okay, so I officially confirmed that the claw in this is not a scam. However, misfortune fell on me. I picked up a ball. I was bringing it back to the drop. And as it dropped, it bounced off the corner of the chute and went back into the machine.
You know what?
I got another ball. I'm thinking dinosaurs next.
We all need to leave with dinosaurs, Jeff.
We all need to leave with dinosaurs. Okay, I need another.
It might have the grips to grab his neck.
Slipped right through. You know, I think I gotta go for a body.
Yeah, probably so. There's your last chance as far as my tokens are
concerned.
Okay. Oh, your former nemesis, the ball that dropped, is getting in the way.
I can't do anything now. I have to simply start a new game.
So the ball that turned on us at the very end destroyed us.
I think we need to get that ball and we'll stomp on it in the parking lot.
All right, everyone, we are now walking into the parking lot of Golf and Stuff. Jeff is going to destroy the ball that betrayed him once upon an unfortunate time. And you, podcast listeners, can win this destroyed ball if you leave us...
The one that we did win.
And the one that we did win. If you send us your best arcade stories in a voicemail or segment to 503-446-CAST, the best one will win the... Well, you get your own choice here. If you send in the best voicemail, you can either choose the destroyed ball that Jeff stomped on or the actual ball that was not stomped on. Runner-up will get the spoils. All right, so Jeff, any thoughts before you ruin this prize that you had so much emotional investment in?
Yes. Well, first off, if anybody's planning on smashing an inflated ball, you want to get a good grip on something because most likely you'll tip over and you'll fall down. So what I find best is to grab onto some kind of grating or a fence. And that's what I have right here. We're located right next to the laser tag arena of Golf and Stuff.
Anyway, Jeff, let's do it.
All right, here we go.
You got this, Jeff. Come on. Hey, yeah! You're welcome, dinosaurs. You're welcome.
I think I just made all the dinosaurs come back to life. All right, let's go play some more games.
All right. Well, I'm down to my last token, so I'm going to go play my favorite game.
Well, what's your favorite game, Charlie?
I'm going to show you what my favorite game is.
All right, let's find out.
Yeah.
All right, here we are at Charlie's favorite game. What is this?
How did you not know this is Charlie's favorite game?
It's the Acme Cran E Extreme. It is a crane game filled with candy, and it's play till you win. So I can keep playing until I get a candy.
What?
Yes.
How many tokens?
One.
So you're guaranteed to get candy.
I'm getting candy. I'm gonna.
This is the best game here.
This is really awesome.
I'm going for the Razzle's Smarties combination here. There is an option to rotate the crane, but it actually doesn't do anything. So you just kind of have to go with what you got. Come on, Razzles.
Yeah! Oh, Razzles! What are Razzles?
Strawberry things, too. Razzles are like a sweet tart that becomes gum.
What?
Yeah.
Yo, I need some.
All right.
So you got candy. Does that mean you won?
Yeah, that means I won. But, you know, sometimes it drops the candy and it doesn't register that it drops the candy. So you get, like, multiple turns and keep getting candy. But I'm okay because I got what I wanted.
I'm going to go on record and say that this is a very good crane game. Not only is it play till you win, but it's not going to scam you. It has no reason to. This thing, it just gives you exactly what you bargained.
Yeah, and candy that's been sitting there for years.
And you know, the finale of this game is that you get to reach into this really dank sort of sort of hole in the bottom of it to grab your stuff. And there's all kinds of nooks where you could have hidden things. And that candy might have been sitting there for years, as far as you know. So I got
I got a,
How comfortable are you eating some of this candy that looks like it's been pretty dinged up over the years?
I got a wild cherry chew. I'm willing to give that one away to somebody if they want to.
It's a chew, right?
Yeah, it's a chew.
It feels like a piece of chalk.
I similarly have a piece of peach chew chalk.
I'll take peach.
All right.
We're all going in this odyssey together.
All right. I have a small roll of what looks like Smarties. I kind of have to. Who wants the Tootsie Roll though?
This candy's really warm in my mouth as I chew it. Yeah, that's got a pretty interesting aftertaste.
All right, I'm gonna have to finish these off.
They're gonna feel like I have something that the dentist gave me, you know, in my mouth.
Yeah, except it's not supposed to taste like that, so it makes you wonder. Oh no, this is no good.
See, it's a surprise every time. I'm pretty sure the Tootsie Roll is gonna still taste like a Tootsie Roll because it's not really anything at all.
How do you mess up Smarties that bad?
They're not Smarties, they're crappy.
How do you mess up ripping off Smarties that bad?
I mean, they have real Smarties in there, packaged like those little, you get three little sweet tarts for like Halloween, because they're like bigger Smarties, like sweet tart sized Smarties.
There's one last crane game I wanna play.
One last crane game you wanna play, Jeff?
All right.
What is it?
This is a little game that I don't think you'll find in many arcades. It's one of those original golf and stuff games.
Yeah?
So the last game I want to share is this one right here. One Shot.
One Shot. Whoa, wow.
So this is really tucked away, and I've never seen this game before anywhere else. This game is possibly a scam.
Uh-huh.
However, I'd like to think it isn't.
Why?
Because I think so much skill is involved that if you dedicated enough time and money to this, you could do it.
I will explain this to the listeners at home.
Yeah. So the point of this game is to get this crane to line up perfectly with a cup. The crane is not a claw. It is a ball that has a cylinder on the bottom of it with screws pointing out in three different directions.
All right.
So you have a pretty weird oblong object that you have to line up perfectly with this cup that has a sensor at the very bottom of it, and you can only touch it if you line it up perfectly.
Yeah, this does look like some dude just built this and brought it here.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I really like this thing. I have never won this game, but this is something that I would have played a lot if it was at my local arcade, and I found this last time I was here, and I really liked it, so I'm going to play right now. I should mention that you can win 1,000 tickets at once. Down here. And it makes that weird sound like it's laughing at you after. By the way, this game is in a very small cabinet. This thing's no more than 4 feet tall. And it has, the only decorative quality it has to it is a small red light.
And a bumper sticker in the back of it.
That reads, Landslide Cup Win. No, I'm sorry. Land Inside Cup Win. I thought it was Landslide.
Landslide Cup.
Really win.
Jeff attempts this game many times, very closely getting inside of this cup, but seemingly every time it seems to get caught a little bit on the same place, but it's different enough for you to not entirely be sure if it's a fake or not. So Jeff, he keeps trying, and it looks as if he's gonna make it, but... he doesn't.
There's a servo motor at the top. Of course, that's what the crane is operated by. But there's a little area that I haven't really been able to get into. And that's what makes me think this could potentially be a scam, and that area is somehow impossible to get due to the placement of the motors.
Huh. I don't know. Try one more time. I find it hard to believe that it would be rigged.
Yeah, I'd like to think it isn't, just because I think it is such a ridiculous little machine. It just looks great. And it's got this little red light on top, obviously, when somebody does win, it goes nuts.
Very unassuming.
Yeah. And it's just tucked away next to Fruit Ninja and this...
this thing that has trading cards from probably 1980. Dude, they have, like, Batman the Animated Series trading cards.
How much is this game?
What?
Oh.
Yo! All right, so we got the Batmans.
It worked.
We are.
Oh, it again! Again!
So again, they bounced off the rim and back into the bowl. Well, you know what you have to do.
They have to get the Batman cards
and stomp on them.
Finally, the night wound to an end, and we decided to count our tickets up and hit the ticket counter for our, no doubt, many, many Tootsie Rolls, and finally, one final prize to give to you listeners out there. Find out how to win these prizes and what exactly the prizes will be right now.
Noah
jammed the machine, and I actually didn't do that, but I would see kids holding up lines at Chuck E. Cheese doing that, and they'd have like 100 tickets, but they would turn into 200 tickets.
Alright, 82 tickets.
Ben and I have 82. What are we gonna get? Something for our listener.
I like how it classifies good tickets and ? Tickets.
Those are for those little kids who rip stuff in half.
Yeah.
Alright, what can we get? What is the most valuable thing for one of our listeners?
Oh man, that Jester Duck though. No, we're doing Jester Duck.
Yeah, Jester.
Definitely Jester Duck.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
You have 85.
Yeah. Me and the old Jester Duck man.
This one right here?
Yeah.
You have 5 left.
Tootsie Roll.
A Tootsie Roll. Let's see, we'll split it, Jeff.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you.
Cool. Alright, so to all of our loyal listeners, please leave us a voicemail giving your arcade stories, memories you have with your friends, any perspective you have. Like, do you know anyone who runs an arcade? Do you own any arcade cabinets yourself? Anything like that, anything you can think of. If you have anything cool to contribute, please call 503-446-CAST or email charlie@fangamer.com with an audio segment. And the best one will get their choice of inflated ball. An inflated ball that Jeff jumped on, or a cute little rubber duck with a jester hat.
Correction, a deflated ball that I jumped on.
Oh, sorry. A no longer inflated ball. So please, thanks. I think that does it for us here at Golf and Stuff.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody, and thanks everybody for coming. This was really fun.
This was a really good time. Thanks for listening, everybody. Again, leave a voicemail. And we'll see you in April.
Go support your local arcade.
Yes, please support your local arcades.
Tell them to fix their machines.
Tell them to fix their Raiden 2 machine. Thank you. Good night.